Third century, the early 200s, a slave was born who worked diligently for his master, but was not known to necessarily be the sharpest guy. In the end, his master at some point entrusted him with a really large amount of money that he was to move from point A to point B. The money never got there. And as you can imagine, a slave who was caught stealing got in a spot of trouble, and so he fled to escape his master's wrath. He was on a boat and a storm hit, and he was afraid and ended up jumping off the boat to try to swim to shore. Somehow he made it. And we don't know much about him, what happened next, except all of a sudden he was being ordained a deacon. And back then, the papacy was a whole lot different than now. If you'll excuse this expression, the Pope was just another guy in the sense of he looked like everyone else. He didn't have a place to live. It's hard to explain, but I think you get the idea. The church was tiny and poor back then. But his tenderness and his love for the Lord really got to people. And over time, anyway, he ended up being named Pope Callistus I. And one of the first things that happened when he was made Pope is there was a guy named Hippolytus, who's also a saint, and a guy named Tertullian. So there were a few saints alive at this time, and none of them liked him. They thought he was too soft on sin. And it was such that Hippolytus was so enraged by this former slave who was pardoning sins left and right in the name of Jesus that he declared himself the first anti-pope. He declared himself, for the first time in church history, and we've had a few, I exist to undercut your papacy. It's really wild, but this pleasant, sweet guy just held the line. And what was the line? If you ask forgiveness and you are contrite, the Lord forgives you. Both Tertullian and Hippolytus, both saints, had this list of sins. Well, not that. Not that. That one's terrible. Nope. You don't do that if you're only half in. That was Callistus's point. The other thing he did was establish the first papal, the first graveyard, in a sense, for popes and bishops. And that's still being used today. In the end, he was arrested, tortured, and executed. Christianity was illegal, but he held to his faith. And I think he's got a couple things for us to pray about today, Callistus does. And I think the first is to remember there's no limits to mercy. There just isn't. There's sins that you and I understand, and I think we're very merciful with those sins. And there's sins we don't understand, and we can't believe how horrible those people are. But in the end, there's not a sin that can't be overcome by our Lord's love and tender mercy. I think he also teaches us that those of us who feel like a bit of a train wreck on many days, like just this morning, wrestling in prayer, I wrestled. I felt bad for Jesus, yeah? And how wonderful to look and see that this is our saint today and say, we all wrestle. So he gives hope to us who struggle to get it right or who feel unqualified. He gives hope to us who are sinners, and he gives a challenge to us who call those people sinners, whoever they might be. And he reminds us of how important it is that we honor our beloved dead and pray for them. So God can use anyone, that much is clear, and we rejoice in that wonder. And we rejoice that the Hall of Saints has room for people who did not agree with each other in this life on some theological issues, But they certainly agreed on the most important thing. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is Lord forever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.